following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Hi, I'm DJ3, and this is X's and O's Exposed. Today, we will explore the reasons for team successes and failures this season that are deeper than stereotypical answers like one team won more than the other. On today's episode, we will be looking at the Golden State Warriors. So the Warriors are third all-time in most championships with seven, getting these championships in 1947, 56, 75, 2015, 2017, 2018, and 2022. So a historically great franchise, and even recently a great franchise, even after getting Kevin Durant, they've still been dominant. They're still able to win with Steph as MVP, winning against the Boston Celtics in a great final series. But their seasons as of late haven't been great. It's been characterized by a slow start, but they're starting to pull themselves together. So if you're going to look at this roster top to bottom, we'll first start with the franchise cornerstone, Stephen Curry. So he has absolutely been pulling his weight this season. If you look at his stats, he has a very high points per game. He has great assist rate. He has a high three-point percentage. And it's great for the shocking amount of threes he's taking a game, 12. The closest in threes attempted is Luka with 10. The next highest in three-point attempts with 40% or higher three-point percentage is Dante DiVincenzo with only 8. And Steph is somehow doing it with 12 per game and being known as one of the greatest, probably the greatest shooter of all time. And it's just ridiculous to watch the way that teams guard him and the way that he's able to just get around it with his off-ball movement and to still shoot three at a high clip. For his old age, he's hanging in phenomenally, similarly to guys like LeBron and Kevin Durant. And he has made a vast majority of his games this season, which is crazy for his age and production. Steph Curry, as one of the oldest players on his team, has started the most games on his team this season. Klay Thompson would have started more, but he hasn't been starting every game. Which leads us to Klay Thompson, who's really started the season slow like the rest of the team. His field goal percentage is a measly 42%, which you can't get with one of your star players. He never really let up the reins before the team started bringing it together, and he just kept shooting and shooting. The eye test was terrible. You watched him play, and he acted like he was the same player as he was in 2018 or 2019 when they're winning those championships, and they were all-stars. He's barely dished any assists, and he started getting benched for some games because of his poor play. Now, his defense really helps him, but it's not like he's a Kawhi Leonard or Herb Jones today. You know, he's definitely lost a step, and people are able to get past him. And especially in today's league, you need guys who are going to shoot the basketball at a high clip, at a high efficiency. Because in today's game, you're getting to 110, 120 points per game. You can't really rely on defense as much as you rely on offense, especially with the Warriors in the past, with Kerr's offense. It's really relied on shooting the ball well at a high clip. And if this team can't be doing that, then they either have to completely rewrite the formula or they've got to get rid of some players. Now, he's finally gotten into his groove. He eventually let up the reins and allowed for others to perform. He still isn't performing nearly well enough. He's not up to standard yet. He's not going to get a new contract that he wants at the same $42 million that he has. And he definitely will not be bringing his team to the promised land this season, but he has definitely gotten better and he has tested his ego. He has also allowed for young players like Kuminga to shine. Now, Jonathan Kuminga came in as a seventh pick. Seemed like an okay player, but he didn't really look like he was ever going to produce after watching the first 2.5 seasons, but all of a sudden he's really blossomed. In November, he averaged 11 points, 3 rebounds, and 1 assist. And in as soon after as January, he averaged double his points, double his rebounds, and more than double his assists. When the Warriors needed it most, he really has become a great player that they can rely on. His 3-point shot is shaky, but is shooting 53% field goal percentage, which helps a lot for this team. Now, the 3 is super important. It's absolutely crucial for this team, but if he can be playing in the interior, which they really have never had as their strength, but mostly their weakness, that's going to be great for them, and he can rely on other guys to shoot at a high clip. Now, if you go and look at Draymond, like the rest of the team, he had a really slow start, but he has picked up. It really shows how good Curry is because he's been the rock and the foundation of this team. Despite Draymond Green getting suspended, despite his variety of fights selfishly, Steph was able to keep this team together. He was all over national news because of his fights and was a huge distraction for the team. He got 3 ejections before the new year. Green was suspended a humongous 16 games. Now, after this stretch, he came back ready to play and energize the defense. You can see with the eye test how his communication is absolutely crucial for the team to be on the same page. The Warriors have a 107.4 defensive rating with Draymond and a 113.6 rating with him. Now, for the viewers who don't know, a lower defensive rating is better, and this defensive rating change is absolutely ginormous for just one player. You can tell that the team missed him despite the 6-1 run they went on to start the suspension as they started losing games after. Going to the next player, Andrew Wiggins has just overall been a ginormous disappointment for him. 13 points per game, 45% field goal percentage, 25% three-point percentage. He's only getting 4 rebounds and 2 assists per game. And he's absolutely not been the same as the finals run. And he's still getting paid $25 million a year. It only gets higher with an upwards of $30 million ending in the 26-27 season if he takes the player option, which absolutely everyone is agreeing that he probably will because he's not been playing to the level of $30 million to get from another team. And it shows the danger of paying your players. Typically, it's a good thing that viewers think that more teams should pay their players after a championship to keep them all together. But if you look at Jordan Poole and Wiggins, they've both been failures for the Warriors afterwards. After the finals run, Poole was absolutely terrible. He got into a fight with Draymond, and now he's on the Wizards where he's still terrible. And Wiggins has just absolutely not produced at all. Just not shooting well, missing time, which was because of his family, which is understandable. But he has absolutely not bounced back. Then you go to the next player, Chris Paul, and he's like, okay, you just kind of wonder, why is he on this team? He's missed almost half the games this season and isn't making nearly as much of an impact as he would have been if he was younger, but he's still making $30 million this year and next, though that money is not fully guaranteed, fortunately. You don't really see him making a great impact defensively or with his assists. He's just kind of there. The stats back that up. The eye test backs that up. You just kind of watch these Warriors games, especially because they're on live TV often because they're a big market team. And you look at the bench, you're like, oh, Chris Paul. Going on to the next player, Brandon Podziemski. I absolutely butchered that. But he's a promising rookie for the Warriors, and youth is absolutely what they need. They're the 4th oldest team in the league right now with an average age of 29. All of their top players are 35+. If you look at Steph, Klay, Draymond, and Chris Paul, though Brandon is only averaging 10 points per game, he brings a fire to the team that can be seen while watching, and he's going to be great in the future. Now, if you're looking at the future of this team with Brandon and Kuminga, you start to wonder what happens after this year. As much as you want to believe in them, they're fighting for a play-in spot and definitely are not going to win this season. Steph is playing phenomenally, but like Klay isn't really, Draymond isn't who he used to be, Chris Paul isn't who he used to be, Kuminga isn't there yet to get them playoff success, to beat maybe the Timberwolves, much less the Nuggets with Jokic and Murray. So after this year, when they inevitably don't win and they don't really have any draft picks, you wonder, are they going to re-sign Klay? It would be really sad to see him go after he stayed all of his career, but he's making $43 million that he doesn't deserve, and rumor has it that he definitely does not want a pay cut. Based on his personality and based on what analysts are saying, there's no way that Klay is going to be able to get that much money, and he definitely wants that much money. You don't want him to walk away for nothing, especially because it's past the trade deadline now, but you're just going to have to wait and see with him because maybe he'll have that brand loyalty to stick with his team that's been there for him forever, but it's hard to stick with him when he just has not been playing that well for you. They still have Steph for 3 years, And though he's going to regress a little bit, he probably won't because of his three ball in his neck for assists. They will lose his off-ball mobility, though, so he's not going to be able to be the absolute star who's just going to be able to carry them. And the thing you have to look at the most is going to be his high contract. Though they're a big market team, and most teams have a high contract star, multiple stars anyway, he's making upwards of $60 million, which is going to be harder to get players in free agency. And they're still stuck with Wiggins for until the 26-27 season. They have Draymond for 4 years, and he's definitely going to regress. Kuminga will progress, and so will Brandon, but how much? There's a chance that they just kind of fall off after the season, even though they seem great. But there's also a chance that they continue progressing, so we'll have to wait and see with them, especially because they have great mentors there. It feels like they're going to be stuck in no man's land for a while unless they make a big splash trade this offseason. So some trades that you could look at. What they need is more size and athleticism. So because they have Kuminga, you could kind of argue that they don't. And Wiggins as well. They really do need someone. They also need some rotational hierarchy. With the younger generation often outplaying the older core, you need some sort of middle ground. And also some salary cap flexibility because of guys like Curry and Wiggins. So players that you could look at trading, definitely Wiggins. He has a great contract to trade away, definitely Moody. Chris Paul still has a good contract if you want to make a big splash. But you probably aren't going to be trading Draymond Green. Kevon Looney, you probably won't be trading. Gary Payton II, you probably won't be. But there are some valuable first-round picks if you don't want to rebuild. So some realistic trade targets. Hawks guard DeJounte Murray, who hasn't moved anywhere. He's definitely unhappy there. That fit isn't working. The Hawks have been mediocre or below mediocre for God knows how long. He would be great to get some defense and really get the offense going. You could also look at Pascal Siakam, who's now on the Pacers. I think that would be a great trade. At 6'8", 245 pounds, he's got the athleticism that they need. Him and Kuminga could play off of each other with that great athleticism on the inside. You could also look at Jarrett Allen, who has a small contract and may be easy to go for. Though the Cavs have been doing well, I think that they'd be willing to trade him for maybe a Klay Thompson if you re-sign him for cheap, or Draymond Green, even though I doubt that the Warriors are going to be willing to trade those pieces. Another piece you could trade for is Jeremy Grant, though he has a ridiculously big contract, and I don't really know how big of an impact he'd have on this team. The biggest question, the biggest what if for this team is, are they going to be able to get over the hump after the Kevin Durant and after the Steph Curry? Because I don't think Steph Curry is going to be able to win them a championship like they used to be able to. Though Steph Curry is a phenomenal player, and so is Klay Thompson, so is Draymond, so is Chris Paul, it's not really going to be enough for this team. Even though they're this team that you always want to hope for, and they have this great system, and they've won the third most championships ever, I don't think that you can really bet on them anymore. Though Kerr is a great coach, I think they really have to blow it up. Looking at this next draft class, you look at this next draft, and there's Alexander Starr, who's a 7'1" power forward center from France, and his pro comparison is Jaren Jackson Jr., and maybe you could trade Draymond Green for this pick. He's going to be absolutely incredible. He's played great in the pros. He's made 16 three-pointers and 13 of 28 pull-ups and held opponents to 2 of 11 while guarding ball screens and 42% around the basket. There are great trades for this team. There's a great opportunity in rebuilding, but the question is, are they going to wait too long? Are they going to be staying in no man's land like the Bulls have been recently, or kind of like the Pacers have been before Tyrese Haliburton? Or are they really going to rebuild kind of like the Pelicans have been able to do, kind of like the Kings have been able to do, even though they took forever? I think the future for this team is bright if they utilize the value that they have and they make some great trades. Thank you for watching my third episode. Peace.